It's time to become a member of Playvolution HQ and Explorations Early Learning. There's a free option and three paid patron level options. All come with free stuff and ongoing automatic training and merch discounts. For as little as a dollar a month, you can become a patron. That supports our work and you get premium stuff like early access to fresh podcast episodes. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/membership or click the link in this episode's description to learn more. All the cool listeners are doing it. On with the show. In studio with me, Samantha Balch.
Hello.
And Carol Cole.
Hello.
How you guys doing?
I'm good. Oh, I have a story I can start with.
Okay, let's hear your story.
I have a school story. It's a very short school story. I am sitting on one of the benches on our playground.
Was it a buddy bench? Or were you waiting for somebody
to play with you? This is just a tired, lonely person bench. I'm sitting on the bench. Youths are frolicking and playing and chasing. And
well, wait, did you say nudes?
No, I said youths.
Youths.
Dear God. Oh. We're not that kind of school.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's Hawaii.
Who knows? And two girls come up to me and they are playing some sort of version of house, mom, and baby kind of thing. They're kind of engrossed in their game, but also talking to me and ask me what I'm doing. And I say, I'm sitting on this bench. And then one of them climbs into my lap. And she says to the other, I will name her Lisa. Lisa, come into my lap because you're the baby. So Lisa climbs into Stacy's lap. And Stacy says she's the mommy. And she is stroking her baby's hair and telling her baby that she loves her. And the baby is crying and saying, you know, I love you, mommy. And I then ask Stacy, who's in my lap with Lisa on her lap. I say, so who am I in this scenario? If you're the mommy and she's the baby, and deadpan, she looks at me and goes, you're the chair. That's my story. Like, I feel like, okay, sure.
I love that.
All right.
I mean, just to be included.
To be included was really lovely. I did get the impression that part of my role as the chair was to be very quiet. Not ask any more questions.
Well, I mean, my experience with chairs is the best chairs are the quiet ones. I mean, you know, I don't want a noisy chair. So we're gonna get into a game of the top five game in a bit, which we haven't played for about 140 episodes or so, maybe 150. I gotta ask you guys, find out if I was an asshole. I did a thing and just find out if I was an asshole. I mean, we can just basically assume yes, but
typically so, in your cases, it is guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah. So I was out in the world, actually without the hounds this time. So it's just like me walking
in the world.
Out in the world. Yeah. Without my, my huggy boo-boos, the pups to keep me safe and secure. And school bus pulls up, drops off some elementary school kids. And so a couple kids get off. And then this very enthusiastic young man, I see a backpack fly out of the bus. And then this kid leaps from like the top step of the big yellow school bus. And he also, as he clears the doors of the bus, he does a spin. And he lands and he takes off running towards his buddies. And he is just exuberant and joyful to be out of school. And then I hear the bus driver start asking the other kids on the bus what that kid's name is, because he's going to report him to the principal. And there's no way he should be doing that. And so I was close enough that I could yell to the bus driver, who's probably a dude, probably my age, a little bit older. I'm like, why you got to be a narc? I ask him, I mean, and I said, you used to be a kid, right? You were happy to be out of school. I mean, you can remember that, right? Why you got to be a narc? And then one of the other kids says, yeah, why do you have to be a narc? And I walked on because I think my job was done. Was I the asshole?
I think the only thing you could have done differently in that scenario was give that kid a fake name and say, oh, I know that kid. That was Spartacus Jones.
Yeah.
That was rascal, Spartacus Jones.
That was Seymour Butts.
Yes. And then
give the kid your name and see what happens.
That was Jeff Johnson.
Look, I guess being a school bus driver might be stressful.
Yeah, it probably sucks. Like, well, I want to be very
short
clear.
End of the stick.
But
yeah, like,
but
that job sucks. But if all that kid did was throw his backpack off the bus and then do a sick ass jump and spin to get off the bus, I don't really think he's done anything wrong. No, if he was like a piece of shit on the bus, like if he was tormenting people and, you know, calling the bus driver names, then okay, like if this was an escalation of other things. But if his only crime was being dope as hell,
yeah,
well, Your Honor, I rest my case.
Look, as far as I know, this kid might be a real dick. I mean, I don't know this kid, but a child enthused to be released from the bonds of school on a beautiful spring afternoon, I mean, why we got to try to suck that enthusiasm out of them? Come on, humans, let's be a little bit better. I don't know.
Don't narc on kids unless they're really doing bad stuff.
Yeah. Like they always get mad at kids like moving around
on fire
on the bus
or something.
Yeah.
Like
punching other kids in hate crimes.
Yeah. I mean, there could be worse. Oh, let's play the game. Okay.
Let kids jump off buses.
Yeah. Yeah. So the top five.
Wait, now what you need to do is report that bus driver to his principal for being a narc.
No, I mean, he'll probably, and the thing is there's probably video. And so he would probably get in trouble if he didn't narc.
Yes.
Because there's probably video cameras on the bus or something. And so,
yeah.
I mean, it's a tough situation, I guess. Maybe I shouldn't be such a judgy dick, I guess, is what the moral of the story is. So we're going to play the top five game. The way we play, if you haven't listened to those episodes, because they were a long time ago, we each make a list of our top five things that answer the question. We go through them from 5 to 1, number one being our favorite of these things. And so we're kind of categorizing them ourselves. And we discuss them. What we're going to do is we're going to do the top five childhood games.
I have a question.
Yes.
So can you define game? Like, is this any kind of game? Is this specifically a game with rules? Could this be a regional game that perhaps viewers are not aware of?
Your favorites.
Fantastic.
All right. Let's get started. We're going to start with Carol. Carol, what's your number five on your list of top five games from childhood?
Number five is Wiffle Ball.
Wiffle Ball. What did wiffle ball look like in your childhood? Was it, who was playing? Where were you playing? What was it like?
Whoever was around in the neighborhood. None of us were good enough to break any windows, so it was fine. You know, in the street where, you know, car comes, yell, car, game off, you know, game on when they pass. It was just, there's something about wiffle ball. It's just really like just the sound of it just soaring. And then the sting when you try to catch it, and God forbid it had like one of the spokes broken, because you know you're going to catch it right where that's broken and now you're pinched too. But somehow it was just lovely.
Well, the wiffle balls from my childhood didn't really soar.
Oh, we've had some cranked pretty far.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Maybe we're just weak ass kids.
I also could have been like, you know, overly dramatic, but that stings when you catch one of those, but you're so happy that you caught it. Like you don't even care. Like there's no bases, like first base is kind of over there by, you know, that lady's grandmother's car and, you know, like established bases. And I lived on a hill. So if you hit it like up a yard, like you had to like run like up, it was.
We had to run uphill to catch a fly.
Yeah. It was like, you know.
Some good cardio there.
Yeah. No chubby kids on that block.
I never had good wiffle ball experience. I mean, because one, I think it was hard to break a window with a wiffle ball, so that we kind of were like, I think the adults in the neighborhood would have preferred us to play with wiffle ball, but I think we preferred balls that you could actually do some damage with. So
and I think that's why I liked it, because I was a nervous kid, so I knew we weren't gonna hurt anything.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, because I was like, oh my guys, we can't do this, something's gonna get hurt. But
the risk okay. goes very low there.
Very low with me.
Wiffle ball, Carol's number five. Sam, what's your number five?
Hide and seek. Air horns. Deer, 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 deer. Absolutely. Hide and seek, number five.
How?
Anybody can play it. Anybody can play it. And if you get a bunch of people and it's fun to play in areas you know, like your own playground or like mm-hmm. your own neighborhood, and it's fun to play in areas you don't. Your cousin's neighborhood, some new playground your mom took you to because your brother has soccer practice there. Like it transcends a physical space. No matter where you are, it's a great game.
Did you ever play outside? Was it outside, inside, any
play? Oh yeah. I played both. I think I preferred the outside ones
sure. The
best, especially after school on a weekday, outside ones, sun's starting to come down. You know, it's almost dinner time. And yeah. It's kind of like, there's this rush to like, oh, we got to find everybody before it's dinner time. Always loved this. Maybe this was just my siblings and I, because we're jerks. The fake outs of like, mom says it's time for dinner.
Sure.
It's not actually
sure.
time for
bring
dinner.
Them out of their hiding place.
I think eventually we had to institute a rule that it wasn't time for dinner unless you heard one of our parents' voices. Like, if it's not an adult, you don't have to come out.
And see, that's one of the values of real play, is that the players are making the rules and you can customize those rules for the situation. So you can stop the it's time for dinner cheating, and you can
right?
customize the rules for wiffle ball if there happens to be a huge hill. If you have to put on climbing gear to snag a yeah. wiffle ball hit, you can change the rules for that. And so I love those. Wiffle ball was almost hide and seek was almost on my list. They got bumped out when I remembered something that ended up becoming my number one from that's what we call a tease in the podcast business. I loved playing in the dark. We would have like a three block area sometimes.
Oh yeah. Did you do it in the dark with flashlights?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Weird phrase. Apologies, listeners. Did you play this childhood game in the dark using flashlights?
When was the last time you played hide and seek or wiffle ball?
Hide and seek, one of my students invited me to play, I think 2 weeks ago, which is always, I find it very fun when they invite me to play. They never want me to be the finder. They want to find me, but then it becomes everyone, like, no, just you hide, Sam, just you. I'm like, this is a lot of stress for me. I don't know if I can do this well. So then, you know, I do the hiding thing. Ooh, okay, question for the group. During hide and seek, did you have rules about changing spots? At some point, we would institute rules or take rules away of where you hide, you hide. You're not allowed to go running across and find a new place to hide. But then I believe it was my older brother who then got into an argument with some other kid about how, but if you can't see me, how do you know where I've been hiding? If I'm sneaky enough, it doesn't matter. I'm like, oh, wow.
I can actually remember, I don't even remember who we were playing with, but we made that rule because somebody kept trying to, and then you'd always find them. Like, dude, you're ruining the game because you're constantly
You just keep running across the field. We see you. Like,
we're going to make you permanent seeker if you keep this up.
Carol, have you ever played hide and seek with your kids?
Probably when they were a lot younger.
So did you do this? For young parents out there whose kids maybe aren't into hide and seek yet, but that are going to be, here's a parent hack for you. The kids want to play hide and seek. You agree. You start counting. You tell them to go hide. And then you go about your day. You make dinner. You wash dishes. You have a cocktail. And then 40 minutes later, they either come out and said, and you're like, wow, where were you? I couldn't find you. I gave up because I looked everywhere. And maybe every 3 minutes you gotta like make some noise, like you're actually looking. But it's a great way to get half an hour to yourself.
do some exasperated yell. Oh my gosh, she's so well hidden. I'm going to have to call dad.
But I sure am enjoying looking because you don't want them to come out. So you want to make sure. Did you ever do that, Carol? Or are you a good mom?
No, my own kids always want me to cheat though. And they're always like, hey, have you seen so-and-so or playing hide and seek? And I'm just like, if you're playing hide and seek, why are you asking me? I can't tell you.
Why would I tell you? I'm like once again, I ain't no narc.
I was like, if I knew, I'm not going to tell you. And they're like, you know, they got like offended. I'm like, well, no, that's
the theme silly. For this episode. Don't be a narc.
Yeah, don't be a narc.
And I help kids hide, though. I will do that, particularly the little ones who have a hard time finding.
Yeah, sometimes place, I'll
like, I know they fit in weird places. I'm like, come here, let me tuck you in here.
Yeah. I'll sneak some advice in there. I'll be like, wow, that's a really small spot under the curly slide. And then just walk away and see if anybody goes under the curly
slide. Oh, no, I just shove kids in closets and put like blankets on top of them. And I'm like, cool, be quiet and walk away.
Yeah. Or like on upper shelves and closets.
That's a fun sometime. One.
Yeah.
That is and, something daddy would do.
You know, yes. here's a shelf in the upper bedroom closet with some pillows and comforters. You just lay up there till they find you.
Just unlocked a memory for me of looking for my little brother playing hide and seek, and I could not find him anywhere. And then like, I get, you know, the rest of my siblings involved and we're looking for him. And he takes the game very seriously. My parents can't find him. We got no idea where he is. And then all of a sudden I walk into my parents' room and my mom makes the bed every day. And she's the kind of mom that like, there is no good amount of pillows. There must always, for some reason, be more pillows, even though you can really only use one at a time. There's like 75 pillows on the bed. He crawls out from the mound of pillows behind the bed, like just sticks his face out. He's like, hi. Like, how did you get there? What? You've been there for an hour.
He was comfy. Awesome.
Yeah, I think he fell asleep. Honestly.
Did you ever have a kid, like when you were kids playing, leave hide and seek and not tell anybody? Like everybody goes to hide and they're like, oh, I gotta go to the bathroom. And then they like get a snack and like no one can find them. And
right,
they like,
and then
walk
they
out of their house and you're like,
oh my God, we got to tell Emily's mom that we lost her. We don't know where she is. And you go over to the house and you're panicking. And Emily answers the door.
We thought
you were dead.
I think there's in the neighborhood I grew up in, I think there's still a 55-year-old dude hidden in a mulberry bush someplace that we haven't found yet.
He's one with the bush now.
Yeah. So my number five, kickball.
Oh,
like a good, we used to, you know, whatever ball was handy. One of those red rubber school ground balls. I don't know if they still have those Nerf soccer balls, real leather sock, you know, whatever basketball, whatever we happen to have. And we played in somebody's backyard or there's a vacant lot not too far by. And, you know, sometimes there were three bases and sometimes there were two and we, you know, you had to figure out the pitching, whether you had to roll out of the ground or you could have bouncies. And sometimes that changed up if you were of your age, if you had really young kids playing, maybe the ball wasn't pitched. Maybe they got to kick it when it was standing still. And so we customized the rules. Every time before we started playing, we'd have to negotiate what the rules were going to be. We're going to be for kickball. So it was a good warm.
Never played kickball as a kid. I played it as an adult because in DC, and I guess probably like other cities where there are young professional people, there was a kickball league and I was roped into it by some coworkers. I was not good at kickball.
Which might be why you didn't play when you were little.
Right. Or might be because I never played when I was little. Yeah. I only sort of understood the rules, but I did try. And I enjoyed it.
Were these other adults who had warm, fuzzy memories of kickball from their childhoods, or were they? Didn't they get to play either when they were kids? Because it just wasn't a thing.
I think it's a combination of like, oh, I played kickball growing up. Oh yeah, I'll play kickball, and then oh my gosh, I'll do whatever. It's something to do on Wednesday nights. I'll come and join you, and then we can all get dinner or whatever afterwards. But there's like a whole league and championships and stuff. My team absolutely never made it that far. But like you just, since this was in DC, you just go down to the National Mall and there's just a bunch of 20 and 30 somethings playing kickball.
Yeah, we had dinner afterwards, not together, just because our moms called us home, and there wasn't really. We played some championship games, but it was always the same kids, so it wasn't quite as exciting.
So you are a kickball champion? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that. I said we had championship games. I could kick a ball back in the day. Let's move on because we're 20 minutes into the episode and we made it through the first thing on our list. Wait till we get to the good ones on these lists.
Yeah, wait till we get to the exciting ones.
Carol, what's your number four?
TV tag or any of those variations?
Oh my gosh. Tag. I've got tag all the types on my list. That's actually
Can
my
you
number.
Explain TV tag for the people who might not know that variation?
You were saying you didn't know. I was like, hold on.
No, I like it's, I vaguely recall it, but it's been so long since I played.
TV tag is, it's like freeze tag in that it's like tag that you're running around. And if the person who's it, if they're about to tag you, you could freeze in place, usually while striking some amazing pose. And yeah. If it's TV tag, you yell the name of a TV show and then they can't touch you. You're good. If you can't think of one or you stutter and they tag you, you are now frozen and you have to wait for someone to unfreeze you. Yep. And then there's different rules, like can you repeat ones that someone else said? You're never supposed to be able to repeat when you've already said before, because you always have that one kid that says Power Rangers over and over and over again. The game, you know, and then everybody stops the game to explain to them that they can't do that.
Loved some TV tag back in the day. It was pre-Power Rangers. It was more Starsky and Hutch and Charlie's Angels and Love Boat back in the day.
Where? Kid on the playground is saying Love Boat. That's, was that you, Jeff?
That would be Jeff.
Love Boat. Like, oh, that's a weird kid.
Shouting CNN Nightly Tunnel News.
I think we called it Tunnel Tag. You just got froze as usual, but you could get unfroze if somebody crawled between your legs.
Oh, yeah.
You get unfrozen.
That we never did.
So that was one you have to make sure you stood. There was what was some sort of amoeba tag that if you got tagged.
Oh, amoeba tag. That's a fun one. Jailbreak tag.
What?
That's a good one. Jailbreak tag. I think some people like just to refer to it as jailbreak, but it's if you're tagged, you like go to the school of hoop or whatever. And then somebody can free you all.
Yeah. Yeah. So tag was a good one. I like some tag. Sam, what was your number four?
Foursquare.
Four square. Your number four is four.
My number four was four square. Isn't that fun and cute?
I hadn't even thought of four square for a long time.
I love never played it.
Never played four square.
Oh my gosh, I loved it, but also I was pretty good at it, so that might be why I enjoyed it.
So did you actually on the school playground with the lines already painted there and all that kind of stuff?
Some of my schools had the lines already painted, but most of them didn't. So we would just use like wherever like the concrete was, or we would draw it with chalk if we had that. But yeah, I think I was also, I will admit, I did dunk on people a lot because I would do a lot of corner shots. I would just be faster. I'm sorry.
Just, you get that ninja speed?
Yeah, I just hit it right into the corner. And then,
there are all kinds of different moves, weren't there? I mean, different.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, I can't remember.
I'm sure if you're like way better at it than I
am. Can't remember the names of
this game this weekend, because I'm like, I know nothing about.
Oh, it's so fun.
I just thought of this, Carol. I've been thinking, haven't said anything out loud. I've been thinking, you know, in 2023, the summer of 2023, we're gonna hit the 1,000th episode of this show, and I thought it might be time that we try to get humans together to do some recording. And so maybe some Foursquare needs to happen in that, if that happens. Hadn't thought about, but that just, I thought that might be a more fun.
And I'm going to be awful at it, and it's going to be great.
And it would have to be turned into a drinking game. So.
Because it's not a Jeff production.
That might make me better though. So I'm so on board.
Might make you better. You wouldn't be all so up in your head. Maybe
summer 23 works very well for me personally, by the way, so definitely keep that on the docket.
Okay, well maybe do some actual calendar looking. My number four, dodgeball.
Oh, see, that's also on my list.
I'm sure I wasn't as quick as Sam, But I was, I had some dodgeball moves. We would play, our playground had this cement wall. There was like a play or an elevated playground where the kindergartners went to sometimes. So there's like a, this 14 foot high concrete wall. And we play against that. And we're doing all the twists and the jumping. And that
oh,
was,
yeah.
that was kindergarten through like third grade. I think we were into the dodgeball, but it was great. Never lost an eye. Probably took some shots to the face and the groin that knocked me for a loop once in a while, but I think that builds a little bit of something yeah. called grit.
my dodgeball strategy was always like get a ball as quickly as possible, but then go like let other people have the first wave and hide sort of behind yeah. them. And then carry on after either some of them get out or they, you know, they shoot their shot and then need to come back for another dodgeball. I was never like on the front line.
Yeah, that's some fancy dodgeball. What we were yeah. playing was like four or five people in front of the wall and then one person throwing the ball. And then if you were like the last one surviving, then you got to be the ball thrower.
Firing squad, not dodgeball.
That's a really intense version of dodgeball.
And so the dodge back in my community center directors, we played a version of dodgeball that we called crazy basketball because it was basically dodgeball. If you got hit, you were out. If you caught the ball, the person that threw it was out.
Yeah.
We were playing on a basketball court, and so if you actually made a basket, then it was automatically good for your team.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was everybody that was out got to come back in.
Got to come back in, yeah.
Different versions of that. So, yeah. And again, I love the fact that most of these were opportunities where the kids were the rule makers, which is so much different than the organized games that they're involved in, whether it's soccer or t-ball or that kind of stuff. Do you ever play, you ever get to play the dodgeball, Carol?
Oh, yeah. I was terrified of it. Again, nervous kid. I'm like, I hate this game. This game is a panic attack. But there's something about it that I'm like, I'm going to give it my all, especially since all the other girls are always just waiting to be hit so they could sit down. Mm-hmm. Like I had to at least try, but in my head, I'm like, just get hit so we could be done. Like I
right.
just... Was this like,
okay if I'm bad.
Was this like on the playground or was this in gym class or?
Usually in gym class, we used to play like in elementary on the playground, but then they wouldn't let us have balls anymore. Because we were playing dodgeball and then other boys were taking like Nerf footballs and just selecting random people on the playground and hitting them with the ball. So we were then no longer allowed to have balls on the playground. So there wasn't
look,
a lot of that.
That's how my early learning career started is as a community center volunteer where my job was basically to throw Nerf soccer balls at the heads of cocky middle schoolers. I mean,
that'll knock them down a peg though.
That's what led me here to all this grandeur. So I love that. Were you ever like, Mrs. Murphy, those kids are throwing those balls pretty hard. Could we play dodgeball, but with wiffle balls?
I would never be a narc. That was not
good.
Yeah,
good.
Never a narc.
Hey, listen,
nervous, but never narking.
You can be nervous, but don't be a narc. So Carol, let's move on. What's your number three?
I probably have a lame list. I just realized that. Three is card games of any type.
Oh.
Like Uno, War, you know, usually not Go Fish because that one was kind of lame. But like we would play like hardcore, like Uno, especially at the bus stop. Like double decks in play. We had like the best like bus stop guard guy who would bring prizes. Like,
so that's awesome.
It was like
a narc.
Yeah.
No, man, he wasn't telling anybody. He just put his candy cigarettes back in his pocket and left when the bus came. Best time ever. Fantastic. And then, you know, you make your own rules. Like, can you stack reverses? Can you stack draw fours, draw twos? You know, like we played like what we like hood rules, if you will. Like that's what they called them, which is probably not right. But like you could stack up draw twos and draw fours until like some poor and it's two decks so some poor jerk is gonna have to like draw 20, you know, and the bus is coming in 3 minutes, honey, you better figure out your game there. It was just such a good time.
I hadn't thought about Uno for a long time back in the family childcare days on like rainy days when we had extra school agers and that kind of stuff. We would play and all of those kids are just about Sam's age now, which makes me feel real old, but that's some warm, fuzzy memories I wasn't planning on having tonight. So thank you for that.
Oh no, feelings.
Where's my whiskey?
I have to dull the feeling, my God.
Can't go on. I loved War too. That was a good one. I loved
that. Oh God, I loved War.
That was a fun one too.
I liked Solitaire. Once I figured out how to play it, Solitaire. My dad also periodically, you know, over the summers, he would teach us like poker games and card games. He would teach us Texas Hold'em. And like we would just bet strips of paper because he didn't have any poker chips with him at that point. He taught us this game goes by a couple names, but like Up and Down the River or Oh Hell. That was a game his dad liked to play, but for us, he called it Oh Heck, which was, I always just thought was very funny. I'm like, but we know what you're trying to say.
That's the point. Yeah, we would play like Rummy too was a big one. Sometimes Gin Rummy. I don't remember how to play them anymore. I was just thinking about this. I'm like, I have to look that up so I can play them with my kids. Once I got older, we were introduced to like spoons.
That's a fun one.
But that was like high school. Like, you know, everybody would put their cell phone on the table and that's because we didn't have any spoons.
Oh, wow. Like, see, we didn't have cell phones. We had spoons.
Oh, kids today. Speaking of kids today, do kids actually learn how to play solitaire without a iPad or a smartphone?
I'm sure they do. I don't teach. I mean, I'm not around a lot of solitaire age children at this point, but you know, I will teach them how to play. I'm excited to teach my niece like Uno and stuff. I'm excited to do that because I think Uno is really fun. So
I want to teach my older one to play solitaire because when I thought about it, I'm like, that's where I got most of my mental math.
Exactly. Solitaire is like great for mental math.
Pyramid solitaire.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It was not worksheets. It was solitaire.
Yeah. It's surprising how much learning going on when you're just playing games.
My middle school math teacher, one of my middle school math teachers, if we finished whatever the assignment was for that day, he was like, here's some cards, find a buddy, play something,
go play,
play anything. So me and my friend Kate played like War all the time. We got really good.
Really good at War.
Yeah.
Sam, what's your number three?
My number three was Dodgeball. I also wrote Gaga Ball, if you've ever played that.
Who the what?
Dodgeball. So there's Dodgeball and then there's Gaga Ball. I think like technically
Lady Gaga Ball or
no, it could be if you want it to be. So I think technically Gaga Ball is played in like an octagon. I think I've never played it in that. It's basically dodgeball, except you can touch you're only out if the ball hits you below the knee. So you're trying not to kick the ball. You're trying not to be hit by the ball on the leg. You're trying to pick it up and then throw it at people on their legs. So it adds like a slightly different element to it. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was interesting to think about it that way.
We didn't have a hexagon or an octagon or whatever you're talking about when we were kids. So we didn't get to play that, I guess. No, it sounds like there's some variation. If I was so old, I'd give it a try. I don't want to break a hip. My number three was tags. We already covered that because I was better at tag than I was at kickball and dodgeball.
This is the list of games Jeff's really good at.
Is that what makes them favorites? I guess.
Maybe. I think in a way for sure. Either good at them or like good memories associated with them.
Yeah.
My top two, I think, definitely lean into that category.
Carol, what's your number two?
My number two, it's actually kind of two of yours combined. It's called Manhunt.
Manhunt!
Yeah. Which is kind of like Jailbreak. Now, Manhunt, the most exciting part was, first of all, that your parents agreed to let you outside after dark. Like the streetlights were on and everybody goes home and puts on black, everyone's just dressed in black. And then it's just like, you know, a couple block radius, or at least a block radius, and everyone is just like hiding. And then you have to set up like, all right, where's base? And if you get caught, you have to go to base, but then other people, it's like Jailbreak, then other people can come spring you. And it was just, you know, that was the most thrilling for my nervous little soul. Cause I'm like, it's dark. Sometimes we would be dropped off in other kids' neighborhoods. Like they would like, do you guys want to play Manhunt in our neighborhood? We're like, yeah, all right. And like, you weren't familiar with the surroundings. And it was wildly thrilling for me. Manhunt.
Absolutely.
Did you ever catch any men?
I don't think I caught anybody. I was probably giggling in a bush somewhere thinking, I'm like, oh my God, it's dark and I'm outside and this is crazy. You know, like, my mom let me go. I know, this is terrible with me.
Is this a game you're aware of, Samantha?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I have great memories of like older elementary / middle school of like kids just coming to our door and like, you want to play Manhunt? I think the best, like, that we played it the most when I was living in Italy, when we were living in our own weird little like housing development, military families. And
Italians play it? Oh, wait.
there weren't many Italian families there, but like we all went to the same school. We all knew where everybody lived. So periodically someone would just come to your door and be like, Manhunt, you coming? Be like, yeah. And then everything was open. And you know, here we are like shitbird little 13-year-olds on the slopes of Italy, literally yachts in the distance in this coveted place, and we're hiding in bushes. And you know, I'm not a care in the world. So it was delightful.
We did a version of that when I was about that same age. We didn't have a name. It was just us dressing in dark clothes and sneaking around the neighborhood being vandals and
causing a ruckus.
Smoking.
Yeah.
Punks.
We're ne'er-do-wells and yes. That's a good time. So I guess that's as close as I got to that. Where are we? Sam, you're number two.
Floor is lava. My number two. Because the whole genesis of the game is, especially if you're playing it indoors, you are on top of things you are not supposed to be on top of. And that is very thrilling. And, you know, it just gets so exciting because how long can you last? And if you've got a lot of people, you know, are you pushing people off onto the floor? Are you just hopping from couch to couch?
Did that spark your interest in climbing? Because I know you're into climbing now. Is lava a spark that led to that?
Yeah, I've never thought of it, but it totally could be. I don't think I was a particularly, actually, no, I was more of a mathlete than an athlete as a child. I don't think I was a particularly like accomplished floor is lava player. I just enjoyed it. There was always, you know, I think as a group of kids that we, especially as we were a little bit older, always adding this element of drama, you know, like because we're trapped and this volcano has erupted. There's like this dramatic play element that
floor is lava and there are alligators.
Right. And there's alligators and somebody's a lava monster and, you know, just a lot of kind of, I think that was a point where when you're reaching kind of upper elementary and you've moved away from that more like dramatic play, we're playing house or whatever, where you're kind of allowed to go back into that fantasy space because it's within the confines of this other game. And it's not considered like weird by your peers because you're all into like the story of how the floor got to be lava and whatnot. So
was your floor ever lava, Carol?
On occasion, yeah, I can remember playing it. Probably not a lot at my house because my dad works swing shift and he was like, what are you doing, shut up down there, you know. Yeah,
dad's sleeping, it's hard to play. Yeah,
you know, like that was, I can't imagine why I was such a nervous kid, but you know, I think games like that just make, I was always like, you know, don't wake daddy. I never liked that game either because I'm like, I live that, I don't need to play that.
Right, I don't need to do that.
Yeah, I'm good.
Did you ever play with that kid who like seriously thought the floor was lava? And I mean, they were just so into it that they were convinced. And then they hit the floor and they go through the whole dramatic thing of melting and,
oh my God.
Yeah, oh, my skin is burning. Ah,
I would do a very dramatic death, especially if we ever like played on a playground, like a playground structure, you know? So it's like, jump from this part. How are you going to make it when you jump to the swings? And then, you know, what are you going to do there? If somebody brought a skateboard, are you allowed to use the skateboard as a boat?
Yeah. Or if you're inside, like, can I throw this pillow down and use it to jump to the next thing? Because that kid that's always super dramatic is like, no, the lava will engulf it. And it's like,
right. It's like, well, then why are we here? Yeah, if it's going to like, engulf it.
Oh boy. That was a good one too. My number two, Red Rover.
So I like that game.
Somebody right over. I loved it because it was a chance. It was fun. It was a chance to break
somebody's arm.
It was a contact sport. It was a chance for playground revenge.
Very much so.
There was a chance that, you know, you catch a kid, you raise your arms up and you catch them in the throat.
You clothesline your fifth grade nemesis.
I mean, didn't you ever do that?
Oh yeah, no, totally.
Yeah, and then you do the thing where you drop down and I like this one better. You drop down and you get them in the shins so they fly forward. Did, yeah. Or you let your hands go so they fly into the mulberry bush, and
that one we did a lot
and all that kind of stuff. That was a good one. So lots of fun. I mean, it was a contact sport to a degree, and so that was a fun one.
It's a strategy game as well. You know, you got to, when you're standing over there getting ready to run, you got to look at all your friends or these randos from the neighborhood and be like, which one of you has the weakest grip?
Yeah. That's the first weakest link. I mean, right. That's my number two. Carol, number one.
My number one is actually kickball.
We did. Wow. Love. You must've been really good at it.
Probably not. But my husband and I just had this discussion about kickball, that it's just the actual acoustics of kickball is like, there's something about like when you kick the ball, the sound it makes, when you hit somebody with the ball, that ping noise that it makes.
Sure. It is a really good ball, like the way it smacks into something.
Like, it's a beautiful sensory experience.
Kickball. Truly is. It's
easier than a wiffle ball because, you know, it's hard to hit that little ball with a little stupid bat. But I mean, a big red ball in your foot. I mean, game on.
I am fascinated by how two of yours were auditory, the sounds of the wiffle ball and the sounds of the kickball. I totally don't have any of those memories. So maybe I was a deaf kid.
Who knows?
This is probably why I use like ASMR to fall asleep now.
God bless.
Like let me find this and then I'll be asleep.
Oh, okay, wait, question. Maybe we can do a whole episode about weird things like adults like that maybe came from our childhood. For like, since you listen to ASMR to fall asleep, did you enjoy the morning announcements?
Probably
like
not.
At school?
Like at school, I loved the sound of the announcements. I loved the like lo-fi crackliness. I loved that.
Yeah. The crackliness I didn't, because you could like feel it in your eardrum.
Yeah, I like that. I don't know.
It's like weird. Yeah.
Don't think they had intercom systems when I was a kid. I don't think that had been invented yet. What's your number one, Sam?
My number one is sharks and minnows.
I was going to put that on my, it's a pool game.
It's a pool game.
Oh, isn't that
it's
like
a swimming game
or something?
Yeah. So sharks and minnows, the person who, the tagger functionally is the shark. And then they're sort of in the middle of the pool. And then the minnows are on one side of the pool and the shark cannot see. That is not biologically accurate, but just suspend your belief for a moment. The shark cannot see. The shark's job is to try and eat the minnows. So to try and grab the minnows, they have to swim across the pool to the other side of the pool. We played that a lot every summer with my dad. So it's a really great memory for me because my dad was so into it. He was almost always it. And I loved, especially as I became more of a confident swimmer, you know, trying to like go all like shimmy on the bottom of the pool. Can I hold my breath across the entire pool and make it there? And then watching, I have three siblings, so watching all their strategies, like sometimes I remember my older brother like basically walking himself along the edge of the pool, like his arms are on the end, he's like crossing his arms over and like dragging himself as slowly and quietly as he can, and you know, you're just watching, right, as the shark has their eyes closed and is just standing listening. My dad's was a pretty fast swimmer, so there was this element of danger that I always really enjoyed, but it was danger that I knew I was safe in, right? Because my dad's thing, periodically he would ask if like he could be the alligator instead, and then we would be subject to the alligator death roll, which is where my dad, like my dad would grab you. He would wait until both of us took a giant breath of air, and then he would go underwater and spin around a lot and then release us. And that was just, and like, we knew we weren't in any danger, but it felt scary. Uh-huh. It was so fun. Yeah, I loved that game. And then obviously like kind of, there are different versions, but the version we would play is like, as you are tagged, then you are also like, you're the baby shark, and then you have to try and grab the other sharks. I think at one point we played some versions where like the baby sharks could see, but they couldn't talk. So like they could make noise to try and alert the other shark, like to alert my dad as to where everybody else was.
We're nuts.
That was absolutely. I think my favorite game growing up.
I would have drowned, never learned how to swim. I would have drowned. wouldn't have been good at that game. My number one is Button, Button, Who Can Find the Button? You know this game?
I know what? The phrase.
I'm so sorry. I have no idea what you're talking about.
This was a game.
This was a game.
I thought this was a Willy Wonka quote.
Things can be two things. So this was something, I mean, this is like probably younger than six-year-old Jeff playing with grandma when we went to visit the farm.
Okay.
And she would initiate this game. She'd just get a button out of her, you know, grandma sewing thing.
All grandmas have a sewing thing.
And then the thing was, so whoever was the hider would hide, and it would be in the living room or the kitchen or wherever, would hide the button, and then the players would try to locate it. And then you got that are you hot or cold kind of that hint kind of thing where you're looking for it. And then if you found it, then you got to be the one to hide it. And I hadn't thought about this for years until I was putting together this list, and my list was done. And then I remembered this, and look, as far as games go, not a really complicated or exciting game.
Very low barrier to entry. Anybody can play this game.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can play it anywhere.
Oh, and this is a game that preschoolers fucking love, because this is a game I played with my kids, and I think we played with the granddaughter sometimes. And I know this is kids we played with kids in care over the years, but it's so simple. And I don't know if kids would have two fucks to rub together about this of interest in our digital world.
Oh my gosh, absolutely they would. Just thinking about like the kids in my program right now, they would love that. And I do kind of like those kinds of hide and seek games of like an object periodically. Yeah. And they love it. They think it's so fun. I sometimes make it like a hide and seek matching game where I give them something, like you find this thing's buddy. So it might look like this, or it might be something that goes with this. That's always very fun. Like a lot of times I like to do it with the name of a peer in the class written out, and then the picture of the peer in the class. Yeah. Because they all want to write each other's names right now. So they love that version. It's like, Where's Una? Where'd she go? Where's she hiding? I'm like, well, she's right there. I think you're looking for a picture, right? Yeah. And then, you know, I'll give them little clues for places they can look, but they love that. And I mean, you know, these kids are on their TikToks or their YouTubes or whatever.
It doesn't have to be a button. It could be a bottle cap or a cork or a
preferably something small
cone. It doesn't, you have to change the name. If you use something that's not a button, you have to change the name. But it's like you and the Sharks game. It was that time with Dad that made it so memorable, and this was those good times with Grandma.
My grandma used to play the quiet game with us. Whoever stayed quiet the longest got a quarter.
Yeah.
We were allowed to babysit us. So
eventually, I just gave up on that. I was like, I'm not gonna win this, and quite frankly, I don't need the quarter.
I didn't know that was a thing. The first time I heard of like that concept was actually my daughter came home because they weren't allowed to play hide and seek at school. And she's like, I told my friends, why don't we just hide something then? And it was like somebody's like stuffed hamster and like, oh, find Hammy. That's what they called it. And I was like, that's an amazing idea. Cause the kids in my classroom, I was like, let's play hide and seek. I'm like, A, it's a very small room, and B, they're going to yell at me if they come in, like, where are the children? I'm like,
Oh, I have a kid right now who's obsessed with which hand. She'll just come up to me and say, which hand's it
is.
Oh
yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
She's like, which hand?
Every year there's one of those.
I'm like, left hand. And she's like, which one? And then I'll point to
my left or your left.
Yeah. And then I'll point to her left hand. She's like, no.
I think the barriers to entry for all of these games were pretty low, except for Sam and her swimming pool and her octopus.
Yeah, you got to be able to swim for that one. Or you're gonna learn really quick.
Most of it is a deck of cards, a ball. I mean, it's some basic stuff. And the thing is, I don't think kids maybe are. I mean, look, kids don't go outside anymore in a lot of neighborhoods, and that's kind of a sad thing. But I don't want this. I mean, look, it's time to stop this episode, and it doesn't need to turn into a kids today thing. But there's a lot of fun, a lot of learning going on, because it wasn't necessarily so much the game. It was the camaraderie and the negotiating and the arguing when you're making the rules and all of that stuff. There was great value and a lot of fun in that stuff most of the time.
Totally. Absolutely. And I think that, again, not to go like kids today, but I think knowing that for a variety of reasons, children might not be outside as much or might not be engaged in like neighborhood community games as much as we were describing makes it all the more important for us as caregivers to find ways to kind of bring those games into our spaces. So to bring hide and seek into our space, to bring tag into our space, you know, licensing rules be damned if they're like, kids can't put, you know, tag each other, can't have like play contact games. Like, they don't have to know.
Yeah,
and I think the places it is possible, it really isn't a kids today; it's an adults today.
Oh yeah,
the adults not letting them do it, like, you know, it's.
Speaking as an anxious adult with no children, I'm curious as to if I ever do have children, how I will react to these situations.
You'll be surprised, because my little one's out the door, and yeah, she's gone outside most of the day.
I can't wait too, Sam. That's why I'm hoping you guys just make that decision, just because you know, for me, it's gonna mean future pod.
Exactly. It's going to be quality pod content.
Yeah. So,
but really, it's an investment in early learning.
Yeah. Hey, listeners, this has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. We'll be back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye bye.
Aloha.
Bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.